This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Here we are indeed, Serena Ryan. I have to say, I'm wanting to give you a medal for getting out of bed and being here. You're poorly.
I'm still poorly. Last week I was raspy, and this week I'm still raspy and, you know, moderately miserable with this flu from hell.
Well, it's just knocking you around a bit, isn't it?
It's knocked my socks off, love.
Popping you down on your derriere.
Oh, I just, you know, I don't remember the last time I was so crook.
It's not like you either.
No, I don't. I tend to go down kicking and screaming, but this has absolutely slaughtered me. But it's lovely to be here. It's lovely to be out of bed, frankly.
Well, late at night as well.
I know. It's a little bit after 11. We've got a really nice show coming up tonight. We're quite busy in terms of the news that we're covering, both nationally and internationally.
There is a lot of news. And I just so you know, I've bought the L plates in case I need to drive us over the bridge.
Oh, it is great news for those of you that have only just tuned in. Pete's not been driving for a couple of years, and he's decided to get back on the road and behind the wheel.
Yes. But so, it's a really strange thing that I have to have my L plates for 4 weeks because that was the next time a driving test was available. So I'm on the L plates for 4 weeks.
And we had a bit of a joke in the car that I'd only let you drive my car if there was an entire car full of people.
Oh, yeah, because you're absolutely certain that I'm going to cock up somehow or
another. Not at all. I just want to see you drive.
I'm actually a really, really good driver.
Well, you're a crap passenger, so I'd hope you'd be a good driver.
Yeah, I'm a brilliant driver. That's why I'm such a bad passenger. That lack of control, and you know I like a bit of control freak.
I know you do, darling. I know you do.
So look,
we've got Noni coming in.
She's coming to talk about the prayer load.
Yeah. She and I both have similar concerns around the Brownlow and just what it means and what it brings out in the ladies.
Well, I think ladies is drawing a very long bow.
I think you might be right.
Women, I think, is the word we're after.
Well, females.
Yes.
We'll go with the Sheilas, maybe.
The Sheilas.
I mean, that whole rotisserie thing they had going on last night. I can't even
Susan.
Talk about
what
it.
What was that all about?
You know, and Bryn Edelston coming at you like Cleopatra.
Bursting out of what used to be somebody's handbag.
What
one could
is
assume.
The point of that woman? I don't get it. And why do we continue to give it oxygen?
This is a question that my sister asked, and my sister is a feminist. And she's like, you know, Jeffrey Edelston owned a football club way back when, like decades ago. So why is he still there? Why is he still relevant? Because he used to own the Sydney Swans.
Yeah. I don't know. All he does is succeed in looking like he's
got some sort of acquired brain injury.
But also he kind of has this whole pimp thing going on, you know? Like, it's like, you know, she's the trade and he's the, you know, the man. I'm so disturbed by it on so many levels.
And the rhinestones on his suit were just gaudy.
Well, my worry is that, you know, this is supposedly when the girls shine, but, you know, are they more than just the sum of what they're wearing? I think they probably are. A lot of them, I think. You know, I think some of them are just there for their 15 minutes or 15 seconds probably.
To get the ladies out.
To get out the girls. And I'm not adverse to that because, you know, I like the ladies and I like the boobs.
Yes.
But I don't mind a good rack. But, you know, look, I feel like it's a backward step for the women. Mm. Really.
Well, let's talk about it with Noni because you've sort of given me a segue opportunity.
For the tune?
Yes, because you're speaking of good rack and nobody has a better rack than this woman. Her name is Chaka Khan and this is I'm every woman. I'm going to get my gay on.
Yeah,
back in
good
a minute.
On you, love.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
That was marvellous, getting my Chaka Khan on.
I know, you shake your groove thing.
Chaka Khan.
You're boogieing all around the studio.
Yeah, I know.
It's delightful.
And I don't dance, so there you go.
Well, you did a good job, Pete. You did a good job. The pole dancing interpretation was quite interesting.
A bit rough on
well
these
done,
microphones.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. Now, we want to start with our national news, and I'm a bit saddened by this first item.
Well, we've been following Beyond Blue as a news item.
Yes, with Jeff Kennett. And the CEO, Dawn O'Neill, has resigned from the National Depression Initiative Beyond Blue. The organisation's chair and former Victoria Premier, Jeff Iman Egid Kennett, said O'Neill tendered her resignation to the board on Friday, September 16, and they accepted it with agreement Dawn will finish it Beyond Blue on Friday the 30th of September. Now, I'm really, really bothered by this because it seems that she is the one that has fallen on Kennett's sword.
Absolutely.
Now, either she's made the decision that she can't work with him because she expressed views after Jeff's comments. And if we refer to these comments, they're about the guy that was at Bonnie Doon, Ken Campagnolo, the bisexual football trainer, and that's like allowing pedophiles into the creche or what, something along those lines, that you know, the only marriages that will work and that can raise effective children are happy heterosexual ones, blah, blah, blah. Typical yep. Jeff business.
Indeed. Standard rhetoric.
Dawn came in and said that these are the views of Jeff Kennett, and I can give you a strong assurance that Beyond Blue continues to be solidly committed to working with the GLBTIQ community, particularly addressing the high rates of depression and anxiety as a result of discrimination. So she's now been the one to take the fall here, and I'm really, really bothered.
Well, it doesn't bode well for Beyond Blue, I don't no. think, because she was very much the voice of reason in terms of coming out and saying he doesn't represent the research that we're promoting. Mm. He's not endorsing the research that we are. He's just, you know, using
spouting
he's
off.
Just spouting his own, you know, rambling stuff with no base other than his own latent homophobia.
Mm.
And you know, she was called in, she was asked to comment about her resignation by the Star Observer about whether or not she felt that Kennett should be stood down over his remarks, and she didn't comment on that. So she's behaved in a very dignified way.
Yes, she has.
And you know, she's to the end saying that she's supporting Kennett, but I can't help but think that there's, I mean, we couldn't get Beyond Blue to make a comment on our show.
Nope, and we've tried and tried.
We chased them down, we tweeted them, we emailed them, we rang them, I rang all their PR people. Mm. I think they've been in this little meltdown, and it's very interesting that a CEO has 2 weeks to wind up business. That's really strange because normally you'd go through a recruitment process. There'd be a productive handover period of time.
Well, the deputy CEO who is standing in, her
Claire
name
Shan.
Is Claire Shan. I would hope that we can talk to her. She's been Dawn's deputy for 5 years. So I think she has the best interests of the organisation at heart. And it may go to the next board meeting that perhaps they will make a comment over Jeff. I don't know.
I think they're fairly gutless. I don't know what power he wields.
Well, he wields a lot of power. He's the former premier of the state.
And I get that, but, you know, at what point do they grow some balls and say, you know what, this is not the first time, but it has to be the last time that you piggyback your own issues on
your own phobias
and your own misnomers. Oh, look, I just think it's a real shame because she's done some fantastic work for Beyond Blue, and I think it's a great loss to the community.
It is, and it's a great loss to that sector of the community that deals with not just GLBT issues, but any issues around depression, around
Indeed.
Mental anxiety and disorders. So it's
which
it's,
our community tends to rate more highly on because of issues relating to isolation and disconnection and discrimination.
Yep. Particularly kids in the bush.
Absolutely. Mm. Look, I think it's a very sad moment for Beyond Blue, and I do hope that, you know, I'd really like to actually talk to Dawn. Mm. I think that we should try and get her on the blower at some stage. Look, there's a bit of news a bit of good news coming out of Sydney. There's a transsexual man named Connor Montgomery who's won his fight to have his birth certificate changed from female to male after a battle with the New South Wales Births, Deaths and Marriages, had initially refused to issue an amended certificate. He applied to have the recording of female changed to male in April last year, but was refused because he hadn't had the gender reassignment surgery. So he'd had a double mastectomy, but he'd suffered a range of complications.
Mm.
So he was advised by the doctors not to
go through,
you know,
any more procedures.
Not to do anything more. And so, you know, it wasn't through his own trying that he couldn't complete the gender reassignment. Mm. And so his lawyers have ordered argued successfully that he does fulfill the legal requirement. And, you know, after a long battle, he's now got his amended birth certificate, which I think is wonderful. He said, you can't explain what it's like to hold that piece of paper in your hand when you've waited for it all your life. It's been such a battle. And it was great to have that certificate that said male at last. When I die, I want to say male on the death certificate. In the meantime, I'm just a pretty ordinary bloke. Love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And, you know, he's a spokesman for the lobby group Sex and Gender Education.
Yep.
Now, so he's out there doing some great stuff for the community for trans. I think it's great.
It's brilliant. Tracy O'Keefe, that we spoke about last week when we had another trans story.
The passport changes.
She said that, and she makes a very valid point, that a lot of people can't afford to have all of the necessary surgery
it's really expensive.
A full transition from one gender to another.
It's not just the lopping off of bits and pieces, the reconstructive plastic surgery as well.
And it's also the risk with things like anaesthetic. It's also the risk with, like, any surgery. There is risk. So I think, going to open a few doors as far as the trans community is concerned.
What I really like what she says is there's also the principle that no government should force people to undergo surgery of any kind to gain their basic human rights. Mm. Bloody brilliant, love.
Now, speaking of human rights, we also talked last week about Tasmania and how they were putting to their parliament a Greens bill to basically ratify same-sex marriage. That went through their lower house on Wednesday of last week, which was fantastic, on the 21st of September. And it's suggested that other state Green branches are considering putting forward their motions in various states, in particular South Australia and New South Wales.
Good luck in New South Wales.
Well, a lot of Conservatives are in New South Wales, as we know, in the Labor Party. But Victorian Greens MLC Sue Penichuk said that she would consider a similar motion alongside a bill they're drawing up for same-sex marriage at a state level. So this is all a bit of a flow-on from, again, being led by Tasmania and being led by the Greens.
Don't you love Tasmania, you know, reclaiming their form?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, they have a history of not really loving the gays.
Well, given they were the last state to decriminalise homosexual
behaviour, I think it's, you know, big props to them.
And look, Lara Giddings in Tasmania said she was pleased to support the motion. She states that they've come a long way since 1997, and the National Young Labour Conference that was held on the weekend in Canberra voted for federal Labour MPs to have a binding vote on the issue as well. Whilst the Mildura and District Branch of the ALP, if you don't mind,
my old stomping ground,
passed a resolution calling for same-sex marriage to be added to the party's platform. So right across the state, federally, locally, and state-based, this calls for it. So at some point, we have to get some action from our government.
We do have to get some action for our government, and I just hope that, you know, Julia hangs on long enough to get to the December conference, because if we get a Liberal government in, we're stuffed for two terms at least.
Yeah, and very well so. Probably one more story before we bit of some traps.
The Marriage Equality Initiative folk have been up in Sydney on the weekend, meeting inside the town hall, wearing white and red colour. A range of celebs and representatives came to basically create an eye-catching, people-powered video which will send a powerful message to the government that Australia is ready for our marriage laws to be changed. It's sort of a flash mob, which is really cute.
There's something that I'm annoyed about in this story, though. Can I just pop in?
Can I just talk about who was there first?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so there was a DJ called Dan Murphy who organised it. He invited Bob Catter's gay half-brother, Carl Catter, and, you know, for the rest of eternity, he's now going to be known as Bob Catter's half-brother.
And that's the thing I wanted to say. Can't we just call him Carl Catter? We now know who he is.
Yeah, we don't need to continue to refer to that horrible, revolting man that he's got a biological link to. There's YouTube community channel star Natalie Tran. Mia Friedman was there, which I really think is great. You know, well done, Mia. She's such a supporter of the marriage initiative. Jeff Field, 2Day FM, and his partner Jason. And, you know, Sydney's Lord Mayor, Clover Moore. You know, she said that she supported it and she endorsed it. And it's going to premiere this commercial on TV screens very shortly, YouTube. And I guess we'll see a really high rotation of this ad in the lead up to the conference in December. Mm,
and I think we'll see it actually go viral through our community via Facebook, Twitter.
We'll tweet the shit out of
usual,
it.
Usual channels. Two things that bother me there. The first of which I've already stated, that we need to be able to refer to Carl Catter as Carl Catter. Referring to him as
Bob Catter's gay half-brother
is just
boring.
I'm getting really over that very, very quickly.
Well, it continues to discriminate on some level. It continues to isolate him in a way in that you are different.
Absolutely. You know, not just the gay bit, but the half-brother as well.
Biological stuff,
yeah. Yeah, poor genetic matchup.
The second thing you're worried about.
Clover Moore, you know what? If she's going to be this supportive, she did it when she was in state government and now she's doing it in local government, she will ride on the coattails of our community until her hair falls off, until such time as she needs, or we need her, to actually be more effective, and that's where she's not. And I've had this issue with Clover Moore for a great many years. And, you know, Clover, either put up or shut up. And stop telling us you support it, because we know there's a lot of people who support
it. So what is it that you want from her?
I just wanted to start using her influence to do something that's a bit more positive, rather than saying, you know, I love the gays. I love the gays.
But isn't she doing that? Isn't she, you know, endorsing this initiative? And
yeah, she says she supports it. Yeah. Show up. Be at these things. Be part of them. And don't just sit in your Lord Mayoral office with your Lord Mayoral robes on and tell us you support it, because we know that. You supported it when you were in state government as the member for the Inner East, where Darlinghurst and Surry Hills and Paddington sit. But she's never actually done a lot for the community apart from stating her support.
Well, why don't we invite her in for a chat and take her to task on that? What do you reckon? Let's get on the blower with Clover.
Gets on my tits.
All right. Well, we don't want it too much to get on your tits. So why don't we go to some messages?
Let's have a message and I'll calm down.
All right, lovey. Keep yourself nice.
Joy 94.9. Have you?
We just heard Noni coughing. I think she's with us. How are you, Nones?
I'm here.
We missed you last week.
Yes, yeah, so I heard. You
gave
some
off the bus.
Cockamamie excuse for my not being here.
Yeah, well, it's
behaving
not like you.
And becoming to a public transport user.
I try.
I have to give your Met card back, your Met ticket.
Yes.
We've talked to you about smoking on the bus, Noni, really. I mean, really.
But I was up the back.
Your backseat bogan.
BSB, that's
me. It was when you actually offered them to the 11-year-olds on the bus that they took umbrage, I think.
They were 12.
And we've told you before, they'll only smoke a 12-milligram, nothing 16-milligram.
The Winnie Reds don't cut it, no.
No, they don't cut it. Welcome.
Thanks.
It's nice to have you here.
Clearly.
We did miss you last week. Of course, that voice is Noni Hazelhurst. And Serena Ryan, we wanted to talk about the Brownlow.
Yeah, we want to talk about wags and slags.
That's where they congregate.
Yep. Which
that could actually be the same thing, though, having watched that last night.
Well, is there any difference?
Well, one Slawags. Less letter.
Slawags.
Didn't they have a rotisserie type situation?
A
where
lazy Susan.
At the tanning
lazy
salon,
Susan,
they did.
Slaggy girls got up and got their racks out and their fake tans and their glitz and their glamour and their, you know, got their bogan on.
I just feel so sorry for them that they have to sit there listening to people going, 3, 2... Two.
No, it's only 3-2 and 1. But it's Demetrio, and he tries to make it suspenseful because it's like in St Kilda, in Revolt, one vote. And you know that Nikki Del Santo is the one you want in Del Santo.
I didn't watch
too much of it.
How they don't all end up legless.
One of your boys came in second.
Who was that then? Goddard?
No. Goddard's the ugly one. Nikki Del Santo, the one that was in the
They're all
the
ugly.
Yeah, they are.
Isn't Nikki Del Santo the one that's got some dubious criminal stuff coming up?
That narrows the field down.
With St Kilda, no, it doesn't. It's now a field of 26.
Take your pick.
Yeah. No, he was one they're in just the, rape in the off season.
I can't believe that was just seen on the wires. With Nick Riewoldt in that whole. Get the boys getting their bits out.
You're pointing to your bits, Pete.
Well, it's the boys getting their bits out.
Oh, my God.
Fortunately, it's radio.
Neither
what is it about women that need to attend these events for their fellas?
Well, to be fair, although I would, you know, if someone said, do you want to go to the Logies now, I say I'd rather have my hair set on fire and someone put it out with a hammer. But to be fair,
to
a
be
lot
arranged.
Of these girls... This is princess for the day stuff, you know. It's like the year 12 formal, which incidentally they all look like they were at. It's more about the boys' ill-fitting suits, I think.
Oh, some very bad suits. But my problem is this awards night is for the best and fairest player for the AFL, and it's become so much about the slags, the hags, the wags and the dags that it's taken all of the ceremony away from the fact that this is an award for the best and fairest player for the AFL for the year.
Yeah, but why do we have to see it on TV?
Because there's nothing else on TV. I mean, they're filling up TV with anything that's cheap.
I know you
Honey,
like
there's
footy.
Also Farmer Wants a Wife.
Don't get me started on that. I don't like that show.
There's Beauty and the Geek.
I don't like that one either.
There's any number of programs that are talking about... nonsense and rubbish, and that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to ask why something is on television is sort of an endless conversation, really.
Which could go on for some time. Unless we're talking about the hallowed halls of the ABC.
Well, don't let's start on that either.
No,
but,
no, that's not.
Not that they make anything anymore. But, I just feel sorry for the girls. It is a boring night, but I think they probably enjoy it because, you know, if they've come from an office job or something, they don't get the chance to
But they don't really have
sprayed
office
and
jobs, these girls.
Oh, what do they do, Pete?
Go to lunch and get spray tans and...
Fake nails.
Fake nails and...
Get their acrylics on.
Get their tits
Manky.
Done.
I don't know. I just thought the boys looked like a bunch.
Up
the boys
looked
like a bunch.
Done.
Collective IQ of about 26.
It was all bogans with cummerbunds, and I don't know. I just think, you know, stick to footy, guys.
It's a bit like Dimboola gone berserk, isn't it?
You know what? It is absolutely like Dimboola gone berserk. Mm. And the winners generally can't string a sentence together. Dane Swan looks like he's had a whole bunch of weeks outside of juvie because he's got, you know, tats from sleeve tats and really not the most intelligent man. But it is all about football, and that goes back to my point, so I'll shut up here. I'm expecting footballers to be intelligent.
Yeah, it's a bit of an oxymoron, really.
Yeah, I guess, look, most of them are about 12.
Indeed.
And most of them have played, you know, 15 hours of football since they were 10 because they've been singled out as promising. So they don't have a lot of time to read or think.
Some clubs have their players.
Joined up writing?
Joined up writing.
Cursive script. Some clubs actually have their players going through university and doing degrees and all of that sort of stuff, so that there is something after football.
I think that's actually a really good program. Mm. And I have a really good friend that played for Richmond in the 80s and 90s, and he's part of a mentoring program that's about helping guys establish life after football that doesn't actually, you know, you don't go the whole Favola style.
What, and gamble your life away?
Gamble your life away.
I think
away
that's an oxymoron, isn't it, Favola style?
Indeed, but it's about saying, you know, you are more than the sum of your sporting achievements and investing in them, because they come out of this football world, they've left the show, they've
they're
left
in
the
early
big 30s.
Times,
but they've got no skills, they've got no way of coping with the sudden drop-off in adulation. And they've
and
got
income.
No, and
there's
income,
no relevance.
And they've got no place. So where do they find their meaning when everything that they've done has been wrapped up in this sport?
But isn't
that
band-aiding,
you know,
after the event? I mean, if they're not well brung up, brought up, they should know that, you know, they should have been planning for this or had someone advising them on this.
The
NFL
has a history of not doing that for them. That's changing now.
It's changing a great deal now. And there's clubs like Footscray, Western Bulldogs, who are putting, you know, most of their guys are studying something, so that when they finish football or, you know, God forbid they get an injury that actually ends their career, that there is something that can be done apart from saying, I used to play for the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm just against the whole notion of, you know, sports people being paid an awful lot of money to play sport. 50 years ago, people just played
sport.
Did
it for the love and went to work during the week.
Well.
Mm.
And I just don't think that they don't change the social landscape of our society. They're not making a contribution to humanity. They're not finding a cure for cancer.
Well, they are in the sense that they're providing entertainment.
I disagree.
They're providing entertainment.
I don't think they... Well, entertainment, but, you know, how does that actually change the fabric of how we live our lives?
Oh, it's a cohesive thing.
When you've got 400,000 or 500,000 people who spend... You know, that's in one weekend. That's
it makes
over
happy.
The 8 or 9 games. You've got 400,000 or 500,000 people... Go to the footy. Yep. There's social interaction with their mates at the footy. They're, you know, a lot of them are on public transport, so they're you know, there's infrastructure results from this. There's viewing. There's millions of viewers every weekend.
So it's
on
all
television.
About money.
No, it's not about money. No, it's
community cohesiveness.
I'm sort of with Noni here. It's about entertainment. It's about, for me, I don't have a religion, and my religion is the North Melbourne Football Club. Sad as that may be.
So that's where I differ. Is that I come from a different state where football is not the religion that it is over here. And so I don't relate to that whole concept of community. I don't see it as entertaining. I mean, I barrack for Saints and, you know, I invest to some degree, I guess.
You're happy to stir other teams when the Saints beat them?
We have a rule about me not giving you shit about that anymore.
But
and I've
stuck
to that.
People go to the footy for a good day out.
Yeah.
I understand that.
You know,
yeah.
And it's affordable and it's achievable and it's, you know, it draws the family together. It gives them something to talk about, and that's better than people sitting in separate rooms on separate computers.
I mean, I guess that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But, you know, when you start seeing these guys that have played footy get nominated for things like Australian of the Year, I don't understand that.
If that's all they've done. No,
if that's all they've done. And I guess that's why do we eulogise these people? I mean, they kick a ball around.
But is this the same as Kieran Perkins or Rob Di Castella, who was a runner?
But if you look at the work they do in the community...
Well, what's Kieran Perkins done outside of swimming apart from...
He's done a lot of stuff for breast cancer, and he's done a lot of... He's got a couple of charities on the go, and so does Di Castella. He works with mentoring young athletes, and they actually give back to the community. How many footballers do you know that are out there banging a really significant drum that makes a contribution to a community that doesn't relate to football?
Well, we wouldn't know because the media wouldn't report it. The media aren't interested in good news. And
there's a lot of these guys who actually are very involved with charity, whether it's prostate or breast cancer, whether it's spina bifida, whether it's any of those things. There's a lot of footballers that are involved with charities and organisations that they give their time and their energy to. There's a lot of them work with disadvantaged children.
Well, it's in their contracts with some, with most clubs.
It's part of their code of conduct for a lot of them.
A certain amount. It's part of the reason they justify.
But the biggest
gambling.
Media hit they might have for the year is their presence at the Brownlows.
Mm. Well, it sort of that brings me back to the point we started with. When did this stop becoming recognition for the fairest and best player and become about what the slags and wags are wearing? And that's sort of something that, you know, to devote an hour of television from 7:30 to 8:30 on the blue carpet, and there's all these media moaning on Twitter this morning that, you know, oh, the blue carpet was smaller, so there was no room for our scrum. And I'm like, bugger off. It's not about you, the media. It is about these people walking into an event.
It's about cheap television.
Yeah, it's very cheap
all
television.
All they've had to pay for are the networks, are the cameras and the OB units, and, you know, they haven't had to pay any talent.
No.
Because there's a distinct lack of...
But you know what I mean? It's very cheap local content.
Yeah, it is.
From their point of view.
And, you know, I'd be interested to know how many people watch it. I was actually watching some tweets last night, and there was tweets from people I was very surprised about who were talking about the blue carpet and the arrival of the wags, and I thought, I really had credited you with a bit more intelligence.
A lot of people really like football.
And frocks.
That's fair enough. Yeah. I know, but, the frocks, it's just, when did year six children start having formals where the girls got spray tanned and nails and limousines and, you know.
Boob jobs and
hair
jobs.
It's all part of the same.
You know, day spa appointments at the age of 11.
All part of the same cultural dysfunction, I think.
That's what it is.
I've got some worries about the state of our country. I really do.
The state of the young folk.
That's all I'll say on the matter.
Yeah. Right.
That is all.
I'll get on the bus then.
Thank you for coming in. We do have to pop you back on the bus. We've confiscated your Peter Jacksons.
We've finished slagging off the slags. I can go now. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Next week.
Bye. Isn't that a lovely little chat with young Noni?
Oh, I love it when she comes in. She's just so funny and she's so sensible. You know, it makes me talking about football and nonsense.
Oh, she's fabulous. Look, we're coming up to 20 to 12. You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. It's time for the international news,
it is
Mr.
Indeed,
Dylan.
Husky.
Yes, Husky girl. Look, have you ever watched the L Word?
No. I don't. A show full of lesbians, I just would not get. And I'm not meaning to be disrespectful to anybody, but I just wouldn't understand it. I'd struggled with... there was another show that had, years back, that had a similar sort of context with lesbians in it. I just went, what?
Well, that's probably why you're, you know, a gay man.
Probably.
Well, look, one of the stars, a girl called Alicia Haley, she was a really significant cast member of the show, has made a very bold statement via Twitter today saying that Southwest Airlines hates gay people, and because she was turfed off a flight today
with her partner.
Her same-sex partner. So she's unleashed what could only be described as a bit of a flurry of tweets to her thousands of followers, claiming a flight attendant booted her and her girlfriend for kissing on the plane because Southwest Airlines is considered to be a family airline and you know, that sort of behaviour is not tolerated. She's now demanding a public apology from Southwest. She's mobilising her fans and gay folk everywhere to boycott the airline for its homophobic policies. And, you know, she just feels that they don't like us. You know, there's been an apology tweeted by Southwest asking for her to contact them privately. But there's no official word. I've also read a little bit of stuff around the Twitter sphere as well that perhaps it was a bit more than a kiss. And, you know, and even if it was, big deal.
We've got to put up with the straights doing it.
I have to watch all these freaking breeders.
Interesting that I retweeted those tweets of hers early this morning when I saw them. I have no idea who she is, but I thought, oh, I'm getting behind this because somebody's been treated unfairly. Now I know who it is. I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
Good.
And speaking of not liking us because we're gay, I've had a bit of a text message from one of my buddies during the show who said that perhaps the reason for Dawn's departure from
Beyond Blue
may have something. This is a story we did before for those that are just tuning in, just getting in from the gym, that Dawn O'Neill has resigned from Beyond Blue as their CEO. It might have been suggested that... Dawn put something up on the website about same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships, same-sex something.
About the integrity of relationships producing really, you know, normal children that are mentally and psychologically adjusted.
And that may have gone against the grain of the head of that. So that's something that we are absolutely going
to follow.
I think
we'll continue to follow that as a news item, and we'll follow up with the new acting interim CEO. And, you know, I'd really like to chat down Dawn herself, because once she steps aside on the 30th of September, which is just a couple of days away, I would hope that she's got an opportunity to speak freely, and we'd certainly like to offer her a safe place to do that.
Absolutely.
So this is our shout out to Dawn O'Neill. Okay, talk to me about the Pope.
Oh, well, the Pope's gone home to Germany, because Pope Benedict, ex-Benedict, as I've been calling him for a very long time, Benedict XVI has made his first official state visit to his homeland of Germany. But it didn't all go so very well.
he's not a popular man.
No, look, he's not a popular man. Thousands turned out for a protest march organised by the Lesbian and Gay Association of Brandenburg, Berlin. Jörg Steinert, who is the manager of that LSPD, told a German newspaper that 9,000 people representing the 68 organisations who participated in the protest are demonstrating against the discrimination and persecution of homosexuals, against the unfair treatment of women, against the condom policy of the Catholic Church, and other kinds of degradation due to the Pope, which pretty much sums up
That's the Roman Catholic Church, really.
Yeah. One of the more awkward moments, and I did see a little clip of this on the television. The Pope was meeting with Klaus Wowereit, who is the mayor of Berlin, in his third term as the mayor, and who is as openly gay as anybody else. And he has expressed his interest in becoming the Chancellor of Germany.
Fantastic.
Currently, that Angela Merkel has that role, but. Yes, so that was one of the awkward moments. The other one was when he met with the German president, Christian Wulff, a practicing Catholic who is divorced and remarried, another sin that the Catholic Church is not really fond of. So he's sort of gone home for this sort of prodigal homecoming as their most fated son, and they didn't really like him being there in the end.
Oh, well, sucks to be him.
She gets for wearing frocks and living with all those blokes in a big house initially.
Anyway, look, it's with a bit of sadness that we talk about the next international news item. It's about a young lad called Jamie Rodmire from Buffalo, New York. He posted a happy and hopeful online video as part of the It Gets Better movement. And, you know, I've got some criticisms of that.
Yes.
But the 14-year-old New Yorker has been found dead. He had detailed the bullying he'd suffered at school and online since he started making his first tentative steps in coming out.
At age 14.
Brave boy. So we're going to play a little bit of that audio shortly. And, you know, this is another casualty of homophobia.
Absolutely.
So let's have a listen to this young lad.
Hi, this is Jamie from Buffalo, New York. And I'm just here to tell you that it does get better. Here's a little bit of my story. December 2010... I thought I was bi, and then I always got made fun of because I virtually have no guy friends, and I only have friends that are girls, and it bothered me because people would be like, faggot, fag, and they'd taunt me in the hallways, and I felt like I could never escape it, and I made a form spring, which I should have done, and people would just constantly send me hate, telling me that gay people go to hell, and I just want to tell you that it does get better, because when I came out for being bi, I got so much support from my friends, and it made me feel so secure.
You know, he felt really secure in making that message, and unfortunately he's taken his own life.
And as a result of that message, there's he's been constantly bullied by anonymous homophobes, which have just really... The abuse has got to him in the last few weeks. So it's incredibly sad. Lady Gaga has come out as a very strong supporter of this kid. There are tributes from all over the world for this young man. Gaga is attending his funeral and so forth.
She's referring to him as the loss of a little monster. And you know, we've celebrated Lady Gaga in her recent trip to Australia a couple of months ago, and how she really is a passionate supporter of the gay community. And, you know, it's really nice that the friends that young Jamie had remember him as always putting people first. He always wanted other people to smile, even on the worst of his days. And I just, you know, it's such another colossal loss of a young heart and of a brave heart.
And, you know, somebody who can pop themselves onto YouTube and make that confirmation to the rest of the world at the age of 14 is... You know, this is a pretty impressive kid, and
And it's, he's gone now. He's lost. He's lost to us. And you know what? He's not around to tell us whether or not, you know, he feels better now because he's dead.
Mm.
A lot of people see suicide as the option. It's like, well, how would you know it's the option? You'll be dead. You won't know if it changes
things. Exactly, and it's only those that sit behind that have got to mop up the...
You know, and we can confirm that it devastates those around you.
Absolutely.
So, look, I just feel terribly sad about this young man.
It is very sad.
And I certainly applaud, you know, Gaga mobilising the community internationally to really, you know, turn up the volume on these types of issues.
If there are listeners who are experiencing something similar, they can get in touch with Lifeline.
Or any of their Gay and Lesbian switchboard.
Yep. And have those discussions.
We're coming up to 10 minutes to midnight, Pete Dillon.
I know, it's almost gone here on Salt and Pepper, 0427 Joy949. That's the text message. Or send us a tweet to Craving, to Salt
and
Pepper.
That's your other show, love.
To Salt and Pepper Joy, Salt and Pepper, Salt.
We're
just
getting some great
pepper.
Tweets lately, actually.
We've had
people sending through some wonderful news items for us to follow, one of which is the L word one, Southwest Airlines one. Thank you, Bugalugs. And also we've asked people to tweet ideas as to, you know, who do you see as being
some of the most influential
gays and lesbians? And don't just go to the same list. Think laterally. Think outside of the box. We're interviewing Michael Kirby this week.
Yep.
And we're really thrilled to get that as an interview. So have a think. Tweet us. Okay, let's talk about...
Well, there's two stories involving
gay soldiers.
Gay members of the military. One, which we are not going to hear about, not going to hear from, but a young man who came out to his father on the telephone, serving in, I think he's serving in Afghanistan, and there's this very, very beautiful video of this young man telling his father he's gay, and his father saying, you know, it's okay, I love you, you're my son, I'm really proud of you, I'm proud of what you do, I'm proud of who you are, and it's a really beautiful story. But conversely, at the Republican party gathering in the US, a question was sent in via video from a gay soldier serving in Iraq.
And it was to a panel of 9 presidential hopefuls. It was
from the Republican Party.
From the Republican Party.
One of those, the question was actually put to Rick Santorum, who is one of those 9 who is running for the endorsement as the Republican nominee for President of the United States. We've got the audio of that that we're going to play, because as this question was put, you can very, very clearly hear the boos from this audience, and it's disgusting.
In 2010, when I was deployed to Iraq, I had to lie about who I was because I'm a gay soldier, and I didn't want to lose my job. My question is, under one of your presidencies, do you intend to circumvent the progress that's been made for gay and lesbian soldiers in the military?
Yeah, I would say any type of sexual activity has absolutely no place in the military, and the fact that they're making a point to include it as a provision within the military that we are going to recognize a group of people and give them a special privilege to removing don't ask, don't tell, I think tries to inject social policy into the military, and the military's job is to do one thing, and that is to defend our country. We need to give the military, which is all volunteer, the ability to do so in a way that is most efficient in protecting our men and women in uniform, and I believe this undermines that ability.
So what would you do with soldiers like Stephen Hill? I mean, he's out. He's, you know, you saw his face on camera. When he first submitted this video to us, it was without his face on camera. Now he's out. So what would you do as president?
I think look, what we're doing is playing social experimentation with our military right now, and that's tragic. I would just say that going forward, we would reinstitute that policy if Rick Santorum was president, period. That policy would be reinstituted, and as far as people who are in it, I would not throw them out, because that would be unfair to them because of the policy of this administration.
Oh, seriously. My God, Redneck Central.
And he's a very, very, very dangerous man, Rick Santorum, and he's one of the 9 that is seeking endorsement as the Republican nominee for the President of the United States. He's going to repeal DADT.
Hmm.
So, you know, gays will have to go back into the closet in the military. It doesn't matter that these people are over there serving their bloody country in Iraq.
And taking the hits for their country and the madness of its leadership. I just think it's fairly disturbing news to have someone publicly state their intention to repeal something that people have been fighting for so long in the armed services. And, you know, but we won't make any trouble for the people, you know, who've come out during this administration. Like hell you won't.
Exactly.
You know, look at the audience response.
Now, the it was just outrageous. The booing and jeering until the moderator sort of pulled them back into line. And then, and you know, good on her because she actually asked the question, you know, what would happen if that policy was reinstituted? What would happen to those members, male and female, who are serving in the military, who've had the balls to put themselves out there quite publicly and say, well, hey, I'm a gay soldier serving this nation, and all that American rah-rah nationalism
and then this
pride
redneck,
crap.
You know, it's I just can't believe the bolshiness of it. The absolute bolshiness. And, you know, it kind of leads me to think about the next tune that we're going to play.
Yeah.
Because it's by Bruno Mars. And it's,
love it.
You know, tonight's song is all about loving you for as a woman or as a man or just the way you are. So this
nice
is
track.
This is for Jamie, I think.
Yeah, nice.
That time of night, Mr. Dillon.
Where we have to award the Donald. Yes, it is. Now, there's a couple of potential recipients here, but there's one which was a sort of another story I wanted to get to. There's a woman in the United States in Maryland. Now, she's a state delegate for Maryland. She was one of those people that was arguing against same-sex marriage in the state of Maryland. So she's a marriage equality opponent. she's been caught...
She's had her finger in the till.
Yes, she's apparently written herself checks and cashed them to cover $3,560 in wedding costs.
She's a bridezilla.
She is a bridezilla. She's a lawmaker. She also used some of her campaign funds to help pay the salary of an employee at her law firm. So I think Tiffany T. Alston of the United States, that's state of great state of Maryland, is going to be in a bit of trouble here. Because she's
silly girl.
Yes, she's been caught with the fingers in the till.
Look, now, I think she's a logical nominee.
She is a logical nominee,
but I don't think she's the leader.
No,
I really feel that we've got a couple here, and I think
the Pope's got to get a bit of a skirt as well.
Yeah, well, the Pope, you know,
they hardly call it a Guernsey because he wouldn't wear a Guernsey.
Well, he wouldn't. He's just a cock and a
wears
frock.
A dress.
But you know, I think the online homophobes and bulliers, the bullying folk that push Jamie Rodmire from Buffalo, New York, to beyond
take his own life.
His beyond his capacity to cope with, you know, this stuff as a 14-year-old. You know, this kid's dead now.
So and I these think are all these people, anonymous, gutless. Pricks and
wankers.
Prickets.
I'm sorry, but you know, I just think this is unacceptable. We cannot continue to lose anyone to suicide because
not
of
when they're brave
homophobia.
Enough at 14 to talk about
who
they are.
You know, my heart just bleeds for this kid. So, look, I think that
to bullies and homophobes,
yeah,
collectively,
man, collectively,
because those people jeering at the Republican,
yeah,
gathering,
that horrible redneck event. Yes.
I want to call it a clowder of Republicans, but it's a clowder of cats, isn't it?
I think so. Mm. Well, they were very catty.
Yeah, they were very catty.
Nasty
well, until
bug.
Next week, Serena Ryan, can we please have you back well next week?
Oh,
we'd
that's
like
the
you
plan.
At full strength for the grand final.
I don't mind the little rasp. I'm quite enjoying the husky tones.
Making you sound a bit like a drag queen, too.
Oh, thanks, love.
This has been Pete Dillon and Heather Letters. We shall be back next week here on Salt and Pepper. Until then,
thanks
sleep well.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Good night. Right while waiting till the middle of a cold, dark night. When everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.